You're listening to the Digital Experience Podcast from 7signal, the leader in wireless experience monitoring. Each episode, we discuss everything from access points to endpoints and the wireless experiences of everything in between. Learn more about us at 7signal.com. That's the number 7, signal.com.
Buenos dias, my name is Consuelo Ortiz. I'm originally from Colombia, so I speak Spanglish, and I'm here to provide a glimpse under the hood of Wi-Fi Alliance. So I'm going to, I divided the presentation into segments. One is a little overview of Wi-Fi and the market, and then we get a little bit more into Wi-Fi Alliance and what we do. So you know that connectivity and the technologies that make it possible have become critical for our daily life. We can't imagine a day without Wi-Fi. And Wi-Fi has become a foundational technology for our connected societies. So Wi-Fi Alliance is committed to the ongoing evolution of Wi-Fi to maximize the value it delivers and that it continues to connect everyone and everything everywhere. So when we started, Wi-Fi Alliance was started originally to promote adoption of what we called wireless Ethernet. So this was at a time where we had competing technologies like CompNA, FireWire, or looking to remove the wire that connected your PC to Ethernet. So we started what was called WECA with 6 members a million years ago, or almost 25 years ago. And we were using 11B, it was a beeping 11 megabit per second. But today we have over 900 members. We're working on generation of Wi-Fi 6, moving into Wi-Fi 7, maximum data rates of 9 GPS. A 1 gigabit file that used to take 13 seconds to transfer, we can now transfer in 6 seconds. 13 minutes and now in 6 seconds. I think I said it wrong. But anyway, so what is Wi-Fi Alliance? So Wi-Fi Alliance represent a diverse set of wide member companies that work, I might say, in a cooperative way or environment to bring you Wi-Fi. So many of our members are device vendors, as you can see on the pie chart. But we also have representation from all other sides of the ecosystem, meaning semiconductors, service providers, software companies, automotive, healthcare, and other segments. So our members are distributed throughout the planet. The majority of them are in Asia, followed by the Americas, and then Europe follows that. So Wi-Fi became and continues to be the preferred standard for wireless connectivity. And as I said before, we can't imagine a day without Wi-Fi. It has maintained its upward momentum, and we've seen 3.8 billion of Wi-Fi devices forecasted to ship in 23 this year, contributing to a 42 billion cumulatively Wi-Fi shipments over the technology lifetime. So this year, and I think this comes from IDC, we'll also see 19.5 billion of installed Wi-Fi devices to support access points and other things, laptops, smartphones, and increasingly complex use cases. As more countries release and license spectrum for 6 gigahertz, we will start seeing more adoption of 320 gigahertz channels and Wi-Fi 6E. And IDC predicts that we will have 473 million of 6E enabled devices this year. So that's a huge number. Did I move? Okay, so Wi-Fi delivers most of the internet traffic. It is a complementary technology for enterprise carrier networks, as well as an essential part for the home. And we saw that during COVID, correct? Where most of us were working from home, and we really needed to be able to have a quality of connection that supported video conferences and collaborative work being remote. So Wi-Fi is expected to continue to handle more than half of all the internet traffic for the foreseeable future, and it offloads most of the mobile data traffic. So to keep up with the trends and the increase in use, like video streaming and innovations like AR, VR, XR applications that go beyond entertainment, gaming, and healthcare, that requires a wide industry commitment to continue to advance Wi-Fi connectivity, and that is what we do. So the next generation, as the next generation approach becomes available, along with harmonization of the spectrum, Wi-Fi Alliance will continue to bring the benefits and impact socioeconomic values in the different regions. Well, I don't know if you've seen this slide before, but Wi-Fi comes in different flavors, like the Baskin-Robbins thing. So of course we have, we support 11B and A and G, but Wi-Fi 4, which is N, is probably the oldest technology that we still see deployed in the market. I've seen some cases of B, but for the majority, 11N is the oldest. We have Wi-Fi 5, Wi-Fi 6E, 6 and 6E. And moving forward, we will see an increase in 6 gigahertz adoption, and Wi-Fi 6E was the first one. Wi-Fi 7 will also have it. On top, we see Wi Gig at 60 gigahertz. But I want to point out the technology at the bottom. That is Wi-Fi Halo. Wi-Fi Halo was designed for products that incorporate aspects of IEEE 802.11ah technology. And it enables low power, low range, and low cost connectivity necessary for applications including sensor networks and wearables. And IDC reports adoption of Wi-Fi Halo in things like security cameras, where you want to have maybe a longer range and still have the level of connectivity needed to support video. Anyway, so that's for that slide. So where we are on Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi 6E and Wi-Fi 7 adoption. So all the latest generations of Wi-Fi, including Wi-Fi 6, Wi-Fi 7, offer new capabilities that support advanced use cases that I mentioned before, such as extended reality, telepresence, high definition video streaming, and much more, because they tend to improve the determinism and provide lower latency in Wi-Fi. So the increasing number of Wi-Fi 6E shipments and upcoming of Wi-Fi 7 will continue to reinforce Wi-Fi steady growth in 2023 and 2024. Wi-Fi Alliance certification ensures that users will have a secure, reliable, and interoperable experience using the new technology with the new devices. So each generation of Wi-Fi goes through a certification and testing process to ensure interoperability. And that's when you see the Wi-Fi certified seal or logo. Oh, my mouse decided to go to sleep. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about Wi-Fi Alliance and what we actually do. So basically, the areas that support our mission and are first to drive the next generation of technology. Indeed, this includes continually evolving, for example, security with WPA, upcoming generations of PHYs such as Wi-Fi 7, which is based in 802.11be, additional functionality to improve performance, and you will see that in QoS management, Wi-Fi optimized connectivity, Wi-Fi agile multivand. Those are additional features out of 802.11 that improved roaming or connectivity. We have seen a trend where performance and device behavior and enhancing the quality of the service, of the quality of experience is more important. So there are cases where we may need to expand testing to include more realistic deployment scenarios in addition to the certification. So we work to ensure consistent interoperability across devices. We integrate complementary technologies that, for example, Wi-Fi coexists with cellular, and we do have a group that deals with that. It's CWG. It coexists with Bluetooth. We're starting to see Matter into the picture. So we work on that complementary technologies and to continue to provide seamless connectivity. And then finally, we ensure that we have global spectrum availability and work towards harmonization of that spectrum. So if you participate as a member, and this is a slide that I borrow from our membership, is what do we do or what can members do? So first, and the most important one, drive the Wi-Fi evolution. So that is collaboration to define the Wi-Fi feature roadmap. We test and certify products. For that, we use authorized certification labs. But there is a new mechanism that we have for testing where, in special cases, members can test in their own premises without using a lab. We help educate the industry as a whole about Wi-Fi features and the value of Wi-Fi, as well to advocate for spectrum resources globally. And that's something that you probably have seen a lot lately. We typically don't do a lot of market to consumer. And the way we reach consumers is probably when we make announcements or fives, or we came up with this generational Wi-Fi 4, 5, 6, 7. We have a voice to promote and to extend the voice beyond ours and that of our members and to reach the industry. And there are different programs that members could engage to make that happen. We participate in webinars like we're doing today. And I think the most important part of being a member for Wi-Fi Alliance is the ability to network and work with the Wi-Fi experts that are defining the Wi-Fi roadmap. We query our members on what is the value of our member meetings, what they value the most, most of the time is the ability that they have to share ideas, not necessarily only during meetings, but in hallway discussions, during the happy hour, where they may reach alignments and agreements, or just network with peers that know more about Wi-Fi and provides the ability for some of them to learn. So networking with global Wi-Fi experts is one of the big foundations and value that we bring. But Wi-Fi Alliance draws from different sources to define our technologies. Of course, we have a Wi-Fi Alliance IP in our test plans, but for the most part, we draw from IEEE standards and other bodies like ITF. We work very close with WBA, with the Broadband Forum. So we listen to the industry and then create liaison agreements with those organizations that we need to discuss or cooperate the most with. But task groups is really the forum where Wi-Fi Alliance members accomplish all the work. So they collaborate to develop certification programs. We have task groups that do marketing and define the feature requirements. We have technical task groups and we have market segment task groups. So basically the marketing task groups define the features. This is where you come to agree in the features that are going to be supported in Wi-Fi 6 or Wi-Fi 7 or QoS management. The technical task group is the group of companies that author the specification and the test plan. All of our specifications are public now, and they are available to the industry as a whole. What we still keep only for members is the test plans. So the technical task group is responsible for driving the testing events, the validation of the specification, the creation of the test plan, and identify potential testbed device candidates. And these are the companies that form part of the testbed that will be used to certify the products for that particular feature set. Then we also have market segment groups. And this is to provide domain-specific expertise on behalf of the Wi-Fi Alliance on particular industry segments. And we see that from the operator or service provider group, healthcare, automotive, and other groups. But this is basically groups that represent an industry segment, and we would like to see more software companies that come and influence their roadmap by highlighting the needs of the segment and the gaps they find in that one. So what are the task groups that we have currently available? So this slide has the list of the task groups that are currently developing or doing certification work. There are some task groups that are no longer active, like Wi-Fi Agile Multivend. We continue to maintain and support and make enhancements, but the goal for that task group is over, so we close it down. And the actual task groups that are working on certification are 60 gigahertz, Miracast, Passpoint, secure onboarding, security, all about WPA, Wi-Fi 6, Wi-Fi 7, Wi-Fi Aware, also known as NAN, and this is where Wi-Fi devices can form their own peer-to-peer network, and one of the peers decides to become sort of the APE, and they harmonize. It's used a lot in drone coordination and other things. We have Wi-Fi data elements, and Wi-Fi data elements is defining a set of KPIs that are important to monitor and help maintain the health of a Wi-Fi network. So that standard, they work very close with Wi-Fi EC Mesh and the World Broadband Forum. We have Wi-Fi EC Connect, which is another form of onboarding. It supports headless, they can use QR codes to onboard your device to a network. Wi-Fi EC Mesh, which is our multi-AP scenario. Wi-Fi Halo, that I already mentioned, is 900 megahertz low range Wi-Fi. Home design, it's something that came up a couple of years ago, and it was the idea of validating particular residential home plans. And there were several builders that are involved in securing certification of not just the type of equipment, but also of the location of the equipment in the home. We have Wi-Fi location. So Wi-Fi location, first of all, doesn't rely on RSSI. It uses FTM frames to do ranging and ascertain location of devices relative to an AP or another peer. The program has got several incremental adjustments or revisions, and they all aim to increase the accuracy and the range. And Wi-Fi location will become, in general, more important now that we're starting to see a standard operation 60 gigahertz because based on, for the US FCC rules, the APs will have to report their location in order to determine, make sure that they do not overlap incumbents in that frequency. And then a Wi-Fi optimized connectivity. It's an interesting group. It's all about remaining best connected. It has taken charge of maintaining Wi-Fi agile multiband, which is a KVR. It created optimized connectivity, which is 802.11i, and that is ensuring faster transitions and removing some of the traffic overhead. That group is also working on the same topic, better Wi-Fi, best connected, on QoS management. And QoS management leverage the foundation, which is WMM. I don't know that if you remember that. It's been a long standing certification. It's mandatory for every single PHY. So it's not advertised that much because it's already mandatory. And it really works to prioritize traffic on the network to ensure that traffic is assigned the proper QoS value to ensure that it's relied to the next step. So it ensures that applications like video conferencing and now XR applications remain with low latency. But it also enables, it provides tools for both client devices and also administrators in order to assign different mappings. So it has features like DSCP mapping, SCS, and mirror SCS that would enable that passing of priorities across the network. That group is currently working to extend that to cover 5G and be able to pass the traffic classification across multiple networks. On the market segment task groups, we currently have automotive, and that group is increasingly becoming more and more active. We have healthcare that provide insights on needs specific to healthcare devices or deployments or onboarding. We have a group that deals with IoT, and it kind of broken into IoT for residential and IoT for industrial applications. Then we have the operator or service provider group. And this group deals with managed Wi-Fi. They are very active. They conduct regular surveys and work to influence requirements that go into all of the specifications that we create. So in a way, that group helps guide the final features in PHYs in things like QoS management or data elements or any of our specifications. So they provide, they present a community and provide guidance on what that community needs to support their services in this case. And then we have the latest group that was created is XR. So it's a market segment group that is working to educate the industry on the value of XR, working to clearly define the requirements for AR, VR, and whatever's coming next. And there's a wide representation of companies that are cooperating to figure out what else would be needed for the more advanced XR solutions that will be coming out. And then we have kind of a special program task groups. And on that, we have AFC, automated frequency control. And that is important for 6 GHz standard power. They created a specification. We also have customer experience. And this group is an unusual group because Wi-Fi Alliance in the past didn't do much about performance testing. And there's some more and more and more we see more demand from the market and ask for performance. So the customer experience task group developed a test plan and it had a lot of inputs from operators and basically is operators have to accept all sort of client devices in their networks. And when I say operators, I mean it in a generic term. An operator of a managed Wi-Fi network could be a university or an enterprise, an airport. They need to deal with all sorts of devices and they need to test that they are able to get into the network and figure out why not. So that group created a series of use cases and is developed a test plan that is publicly available to help validate or characterize devices. We don't provide, it has to be lower than this or greater than that. We leave that for the company doing the test to validate what they are needed for their particular use cases. But it's something that I believe that it would be of interest for the community, and we will continue to expand on that test plan. The plan is called Device Metrics. We also have a long-range planning group. And this is a group that is looking at the future of Wi-Fi and looking at what's coming and what are the new task groups that we would need to form. And finally, we have a group that is regulatory and that is more dealing with governmental entities to ensure homogeneity and standardization of the spectrum. So we do a lot of work. We're always looking forward to what's coming next. And this is a list, not comprehensive. I'm sure there are more that I did not include, of standards that could be under consideration. So we have 11BB for light communications, 11BC for enhanced broadcast, randomized and changing MAC addresses. That's something that we're paying a lot of attention. Our security task group is looking into it. I would say that Passpoint is also looking into it and other task groups in Wi-Fi Alliance. We have extremely high throughput or Wi-Fi 7. We do have a task group working on it, and actually it's two task groups. We have the marketing task group that defines the requirement and the technical task group that is working on the test plan. We have 11ME with all of the task groups are looking into it. It's accumulated changes and maintenance. We have wireless LAN sensing, and that is of particular interest to the operator market segment task group. And I would say that automotive is also very interested on it, and I should have added automotive on that. We don't have a task group yet, but if I look into the prediction, I think one will be formed very, very soon. We also work with organizations, and I mentioned a few of them before. So with some of them, we have established and have liaison agreements, and we do more open exchanges. An example of that is WBA. That is kind of a sister organization. We have quarterly joint meetings in which members of both organizations participate. We alternate topics. A lot of the discussions have been around Passpoint and open roaming. More recently, we have had conversations on IoT, other mechanisms for onboarding, of course, device. We collaborate on trials. We have had co-located meetings. So there's a lot of cross-pollination with them. But we also work with other organizations like CSA now for Matter and IoT, the Broadband Forum that I mentioned before for data elements in particular, and actually, of course, and ITF and others that I didn't mention. So, but having said all of that, certification started as the foundation for Wi-Fi Alliance and is still our foundation. So the collaborative work carried out globally by member companies to establish that Wi-Fi device feature set and standards to provide a common interoperability base is the foundation for certification. So the test plans are based on what an industry agreed requirements that would ensure that devices provide reliable, consistent, secure, interoperable experience. And of course, it supports ISO certification process and development and testing. Testing is conducted at independent authorized certification labs around the world. And if you go to the Wi-Fi Alliance page, you may be able to find the list of labs. So how do members certify? So we have like three different buckets. One is FlexTrack. And FlexTrack is always conducted at an ATL lab, authorized testing lab. Is for those companies that do a huge level of certification of the customization on their platforms. And that they are more heavily involved, they really modify the firmware that is provided by the chipset vendor. They certify using the authorized certification labs. We created an easier way of achieving certification that is called QuickTrack for companies that want to test on site. They don't want to use an ITL. They could use an ITL if they wanted. And these are companies that relied on what we call qualified solutions. And they do not provide a lot of changes they don't do a lot of changes to the Wi-Fi functionality. So that is a much faster way of certifying for that set of customers or members. And last, we have derivative certifications, which are products that have already been certified, but you change the box to change something that is not necessarily impacting Wi-Fi performance, and therefore they can be certified without any additional testing to Wi-Fi's functionality. So we promote universal standards and work to advance topics that are important to Wi-Fi as a whole. We do that globally. So we advocate and we try to shape regulatory policy in terms of a spectrum in order to get to that harmonized level. So right now there are a lot of efforts in the promotion and advocacy for Wi-Fi 6 at a global level. So now in terms of marketing, so it's one of the things that we do is promote. So we're actively promoting, we actually promote solutions for our members. We provide the ability to for them to leverage insight into the campaigns and opportunities that we have we're driving inside Wi-Fi Alliance. We have created kind of a separate group that is an active forum of member companies that are on the marketing side as opposed to the technical side in order to participate and be aware of announcements that we're making or promotions that we're making. And that is called our marketing network. And if you are interested in marketing, I would suggest that your market representatives get in touch and participate on that group. And basically, the idea is to amplify the voice of Wi-Fi Alliance and also that of our members in order to reach out a wider market. So we have different channels that we use to strengthen that marketing story. Of course, we have our press releases, media coverage. We have the beacon, and I added links on the presentation to all of that, that has blogs on a variety of topics. We welcome blogs from the industry. So it's not necessarily restricted. We have the Signal, that is a podcast that works to provide broad exposure to the industry. That definitely is open to members and non-members. We have the Wi-Fi Alliance Insider, which is our regular newsletter. We have case studies and that we publish depending on the task group and technology that we're working on or advocating for. And we have the normal social media channels. And then last, but perhaps the most important aspect of being part of Wi-Fi Alliance is the ability to collaborate, learn, and work with industry peers that are the experts in Wi-Fi. And this picture, by the way, was taken in Washington, D.C. when we celebrated our 20th anniversary. And that was a couple of years ago. We're preparing for our 25th anniversary, and the story will continue. So we may have a new updated picture, not this year, but the following year. Anyway, so that is the end of my presentation. Thank you so much. Oh, I forgot to put my email address. So I will update the slides and provide my email address. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. Again, I'm Consuelo Ortiz, and very happy to be here with you. Thank you, Heather.
Of course. Kayla, and I think we do have some questions in the Q&A panel for you. So Chris, if you want to run that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's quite a few in here, so we'll get to a couple of them. But I know in the beginning, we talked about this before the webinar, but there's definitely a lot of questions around Wi-Fi 7 and what the course is on that. So if you can kind of give us where the Wi-Fi Alliance sits right now with Wi-Fi 7 and what your thoughts are on it. For testing and what that's that may be here in the future.
Okay, so if the question is Wi-Fi 7 here? So we definitely have seen Wi-Fi 7 devices in the market. That happens with every release of Wi-Fi. It happened with Wi-Fi 6. It will happen with Wi-Fi 8. But if you ask me, is Wi-Fi 7 certified there? No, it's not quite there yet. The certification is no longer, it's not yet available, is under development. The actual test plan is not finalized yet. We are looking towards having certification available Q1 next year. We announced earlier this year that we were working towards the development of certification, so that work continues. But that doesn't prevent the industry from starting early development, is what we see in the market. So we will continue to see Wi-Fi 7 devices coming out, and the certification will be available, meaning the final test or final, the agreement on the final set of features will come out early next year. Did that answer your question?
It did. Yes. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Sorry, I muted myself. But so there's definitely a lot of questions in here about the different groups that are going on within the Wi-Fi Alliance, such as Halo, Wi-Fi Location, and Easy Mesh. So I'm just going to ask a couple of them, and maybe we can actually do a webinar on some of these. But one of them was actually about Halo. It seems to be getting a lot of traction now. I'm hearing a lot more about it. And Force is asking, he hasn't heard it specifically, but wanted to know some of the applications. And I know, you know, from what I've seen, like a lot of agricultural, a lot of outdoor, a lot of low power IoT sensors really gain some value from that, as well as distance. You know, and I think there's a lot of like 1 kilometer kind of range with Halo. Do you have anything else to add to Halo?
Well, alluded to, and this is something that came from IDC, they're seeing a lot of traction with security cameras.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So particularly just, let's say you have a parking lot and your camera is far away. And so Halo will be ideal for that.
Perfect. Okay. And I also dropped the link in the chat for the all of the different Discover the Wi-Fi Alliance groups that are out there. So if you have any questions on that, see that link to kind of get some additional value there, because I think there's a lot of information that's in there. Can you either go into a little bit of more detail either on Wi-Fi location or what was the other one that was in here? Wi-Fi Easy Mesh, I think, were the two that were brought up.
Okay. Yes. Wi-Fi location, as I mentioned before, doesn't rely on RSSI. It uses FTM frames.
Okay.
And we could do a whole panel on that. So it's been used, of course, to do self-located piece, as Aruba released last year, for example. So there's a lot of movement in the industry to how to identify the location of APs without necessarily using GPS, particularly to report their location if they were using 6 GHz standard power.
Okay.
But it's also used in applications like opening a vehicle, trying to figure out where you are wayfinding, the traditional uses, correct, of location.
Okay.
The group is very active, and there's a lot of industry support. I believe that Google has several applications available in their store that rely on Wi-Fi location. Wi-Fi Alliance had a demo during our member meeting in Lisbon, where we had Samsung phones, and this was kind of an impromptu demo. So we had Samsung phones, Pixel phones, and others. I think we were featuring Aruba APs using Google's applications. We also use Aruba's Meridian applications for the particular hotel that we were at in order to do wayfinding. So I would be more than happy to orchestrate a more detailed insight on a Wi-Fi location. And an interesting note, Dorothy, who heads IEEE 802.11, is the chair for Wi-Fi location.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Digital Experience Podcast. To hear future episodes, be sure to subscribe and don't forget to rate the podcast. Learn more about us at 7signal.com. That's the number 7, signal.com.